Could talk to the animals. Just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk.
Hello, this is Jacques Doolittle. This is Pet Chat. Welcome to the show this beautiful Saturday. It's AM 1180 WFYL, and you're with us for an hour. We're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff. We've got a great guest today, Sarah Winklevoss, and we'll get to her and her business in just a moment. Just want to do a little housekeeping, as it were. I'm with Soph and Bean Pet Care, and that's Soph, short for Sophie. S-O-P-H, letter N, B-E-A-N, Soph and Bean Pet Care. You can find us on the web at soaphandbeanpetcare.com. And we take care of all your pet needs in the King of Prussia area, mainline, and surrounding areas. So you need your dog or cat watched, your dog walked, or your house watched while you're on vacation. I do overnights, and besides the daily care, I have all sorts of clients now. Have this 6-week-old Shih Tzu, and her name is Leia because she looks like an Ewok. She's so cute. She's not even 2 pounds, so she's my newest client. But anyway, if you have any needs, please give us a call. We're at 610-783-6394. Also, use that number if you'd like a free dog walk. If you call and you're the third caller, we'll take you off the air and we'll get your name and address, phone number, and you'll have a free dog walk. So twice during the show, I'll promo, call in now, and you'll be the third caller, and we'll give you a free dog walk. Okay, so right now, if you're the third caller, we'll give you a free dog walk. All right, so that's some housekeeping business. We have Sarah here. So hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
I am well, and how are you?
Good, thanks for having me here today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So first off, why don't you just tell me a little bit about your business? What's the name of your business?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Sarah, and I am the owner of Cubby's Canine Castle Doggy Daycare. We're in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, right on 202. And we offer daycare, boarding, training, and grooming. We've been there since about 2006 is when we opened.
All right, great. So let's see. How many years has it been there, and how many years have you been doing it?
Well, I opened the business myself.
Oh, okay.
So I've been there since the start, and we opened the doors the end of 2006. So almost 9 years now.
All right. Well, great. So you know what you're doing. What made you decide to go into daycare?
Well, I had a dog, and she actually needed a lot of daycare. It was I was living back out in Chicago, Illinois. I worked for a software company.
Okay.
And I did a lot of traveling at the time. So my territory covered 8 states and half of Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So before I even got a dog, I had actually lined up a daycare for her because I knew that, you know, being as how I was going to be traveling a lot, I knew going into it, getting a dog was actually probably a stupid idea. But she was definitely well worth it. But I knew I was going to need a good daycare to take her to.
Okay. Now, the people that come to you, what do they say is the reason they're coming to your daycare?
You know, people definitely use daycare for different reasons. You know, we have people that they get a young dog and they want to make sure that the dog is well socialized with other dogs.
Sure.
Right? So socialization, getting used to being around other animals is a big part of it. The other big aspect is exercise, right? Everybody knows that people today, families today are always much busier than they have been in the past. So a lot of times it's just a way to get the dog a lot more exercise than they would be able to do on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also get people that maybe they're regular customers, but they're doing some home renovations. We get a lot of dogs that come, 4 or 5 days a week sometimes when the renovations are getting done on the house. So various different reasons. A lot of it, though, is just they want the dog to get some fun, have some extra playtime.
Sure. And I'm sure they enjoy all the other dogs at the same time, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Daycare, if you want to picture it in your mind or want to think about what it's like, it's basically like elementary school recess. So we have,
or a kindergarten recess where you're out back with the blocks.
Exactly. So they come, they do have their regular friends that they play with. It's pretty funny how they make friendships, but we average about 60, 65 dogs a day. So it's pretty busy. They can usually find somebody that they want to play with, but it's a lot of just hanging out with their friends, having a good time, getting a lot of exercise.
That's a lot of dogs. 65
it
dogs.
Is. It's pretty busy.
Now, do you have separate areas for the large dogs, the small dogs, or they all just get along?
We don't separate by size. The philosophy that I went into it with, and I worked at another daycare in the past, is that we don't allow bullying no matter what size the dog. And behavior, the playgroups, the way they behave in the playgroups, it's a managed playgroup. Right. So obviously we're not going to allow bullying. And quite frankly, some of the little dogs like to play with the bigger dogs. We find that they pick their playmate based on personality, based on play style,
right,
not so much size.
So you find that when the customer reoccurs on, say, tomorrow and the next day, and a smaller dog who liked them yesterday, they're gonna typically go back to their partner again, their playmate?
Oh, they absolutely make long-term friends.
Wow.
Yeah. There's actually...
I never even thought of that. That's cool.
It's really great, and it's fascinating to watch, actually. The dogs definitely have their personalities, and we definitely see friendships develop over time. It's a riot, but we actually have a dog. His name's Yukon. He's a beautiful Samoyed. He's been coming for years. Big, white, fluffy dog. Looks like a big marshmallow. And one of his best friends is Matilda. They've both probably been coming about 5 years, I think. And when Yukon is always there first, right? His parents are early drop-offs. We open at 6:45 a.m.
Oh, that's early.
Yeah. So sometimes his parents are there right first thing because when they have to be at their jobs. So Yukon's always pretty early. Matilda gets there a little later. But when it's Matilda that gets to the parking lot, Yukon knows. He knows it's her. He runs over to the gate and he starts howling, or like he does this woo.
Right.
And he starts pawing at the
gate. Recognition howl.
Exactly. He gets so excited and he knows it's her.
Wow. So, I mean, is this friendship grouping typical of all your, I mean, you have 60 dogs in there and they're all sort of running around and they're partnering up. Some do, some don't, some socialize, some just stay up by themselves. How do you find it?
It's a bit of a mix, right? And so some, and they alternate their friends too, right? So I talked about Yukon and Matilda. Matilda's not Yukon's only friend, not the only dog he plays with. If she's not there, he'll play with someone else that day. Sometimes you'll have, you know, a few different dogs all kind of playing together. Sometimes there are dogs that are a little more mellow and they kind of tend to interact with more mellow dogs, or they also interact more with staff, right? So we definitely have dogs that want to kind of be pet by the staff, want to be, you know, follow the staff around versus play with some of the rough and tumble dogs. But you definitely have dogs with different play styles.
Okay, great. Now, what are they doing during the day? You say they're playing. Do you have anything structured for them, or are they just totally on their own? How does that work?
We generally don't do anything structured. It's pretty free form. So when they first get there in the morning, they have all their energy. They're all pretty active. We have play sets for them to play on, right? So there's slide. We actually have little tykes play equipment. We have slides in the play yards, things like that. Later on in the morning, around noon, lunchtime, they do tend to settle down. Some of them actually lay down, take a nap, right? They need a little bit of rest. And then early afternoon, they kind of perk back up. They get their second wind.
Now, do you have feeding times, or you don't feed them?
If they're boarding, they have to be fed. But we do not typically feed the dogs that are just there for the day. A few of them will come with lunch, right? So some of the younger dogs, if they're still eating three meals a day, they'll come with, you know, lunch sent from home, and we'll pop them in a crate for a little bit around noontime, get them their lunch, let them back out. But most of the dogs that are there are eating breakfast before they come, eating dinner when they go home.
Right. I always thought typically two meals a day and is what a dog got.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. Now, most of the time, if it's younger dogs, typically they start out eating three meals a day. Right. And then generally around 6-7 months, they kind of stop that.
Gotcha. Now you, when you're feeding the lunchtime pets, you said you take them into a feeding area?
We do. We obviously, you don't want to feed all the dogs together.
The big dogs are going to eat the food.
Exactly. That would not be a good scene. When they're being fed, they each go into their own individual crate.
Right.
And we'll give them a little bit of downtime before they eat, make sure their stomach settles down. Then we'll feed them, let them kind of digest a little bit, and then they can go back out to the play yard.
Well, that's great. So what are typically some of the advantages of coming, say, to your daycare?
I think Cubby's has a great reputation for one, since we've been open almost 9 years. And I think one of the nice things, we have a large facility. So we have both large indoor and outdoor play areas. So we kind of have the best of both worlds. If it's nice weather out, like a gorgeous day like today, we can be outside all day. But if in the temperature where it's cold out, or if it's raining, we actually have large indoor play space too that we can take the dogs to.
So if I'm there today, beautiful day this Saturday, and if it is a nice day, is there swinging doors that allow them to go inside or outside, or do you put them all outside when it's sunny and inside when it's cold, or can they just pick and choose the area in or out that they wish?
We do control where they are. Obviously, if you have that many dogs, we have to have the staff monitoring them, and we want to make sure that we're paying attention to what they're doing, where they're going. So we move the dogs either into the indoor play yard or remove the dogs into the outdoor play yard. But that is a decision that the staff makes.
Okay. All right. And so speaking of staff, how many people are, you got 65 dogs. You got to have a staff, right?
Absolutely. We definitely have added staff over the years. That's for sure, as we've grown. And we have about a dozen people on staff now.
All right. So full-time every day, you got 12 people?
No, that's 12 people total. So typically on a day, we're going to have, you know, 4 people there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so they just have their different shifts.
Exactly. Yeah, we definitely need different shifts because, as you can imagine, we're open 365 days a year. And we have long hours during the week. Like I said, we open at 6:45 a.m. and we don't close until 7 p.m. So just to have, so obviously we don't want to have people working 12, 13 hour days. That would be a lot. It would be exhausting.
Sure. So now, do you have more dogs during holidays?
It depends on the holiday. Summer holidays, we do. It gets pretty busy. 4th of July weekend is definitely one of the busier weeks of the year for us. But holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, while we have some dogs boarding, it's not as busy as the summertime.
Sure. Now, with my business, because I go to the people's homes, I find the holidays are definitely the busier times, more overnights during holiday periods than any other time. And they, you know, they're at home. But obviously, there's advantages to both. What's your favorite thing about owning your business?
Oh, favorite thing about owning my business?
Yeah.
Let's see.
The dogs.
Definitely. I think one of the, it's been challenging, right? I mean, as you can imagine, I'm sure you know, starting a small business is quite an undertaking. So the first few years.
I've just done it.
Exactly.
2 years in my business.
And exactly.
There's always something new.
Absolutely. So the first few years, definitely nerve-wracking, just getting things up and running. I think now it's nice that we have a solid customer base. We've got a reputation built. So I think it's just nice to have the nice thing about the business is just feeling like we've created something where people feel comfortable to take their dogs and to trust us with their dogs, because the dogs really are truly a member of the family. And we have clients that, like I said, we've been there almost 9 years. So we have clients that have been coming for that long. And it's nice to see those relationships develop.
Yeah, sure. Now, what have you learned over the years that, you know, you couldn't anticipate going into it, that you didn't realize would be either part of the business, or what are some of the things over the years that that you've learned?
Yeah, I think I definitely have learned that the importance of finding and maintaining good staff.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Good staff is very hard to find.
Very hard.
Very hard. And I think that that is definitely something that I did not realize when I first opened the doors. And I think that this industry is really interesting in that a lot of people talk about how much money people spend in the pet care business, and it's a $1 billion industry. And people do, Americans do spend a lot of money on our pets. We really, truly do.
Absolutely.
But one of the topics that doesn't get talked about a lot is that it's not a very well compensated industry in terms of the folks that are directly caring for animals, especially in like a boarding daycare type environment. No, so you really have to find people that are dedicated.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, I can't charge an arm and a leg, so I charge, say, $22 for a visit, and then $10 for a second visit the same day. So if I'm charging $32 and I have an employee going out and doing it because I'm busy with another dog or some other dogs or cats, and I need this second employee to cover for me, well, I'm getting $32, so usually I split it, and they've got to be dedicated to make, you know, two visits a day for $15 because they got to drive out to the person's home. So I know you have to make a little bit of it, and the rest goes to your employee, but it can't be a whole lot. So you're right. They have to be dedicated.
And luckily for me, I have definitely found some of those folks. I have a really, really good core group of folks that work for me. We always have good staff on hand, and you know, it's like I said, it's hard to find good people. We always, definitely make sure that we hire quality folks. And I have a really good group of managers, really good management team. And I definitely have a good group of staff.
Now, what are the ages of your employees? I mean, just in general, do you have like an older staff, a lot of retirees or younger college kids doing it? What kind of mix do you have?
For the most part, the folks that I have on staff are, I would say, mid-20s is probably average.
Okay. So are these kids? Mid-20s to me is a kid. So
yeah, they are to me too. I'm the oldest one that works there.
So they're in their mid-20s. They just out of college. They're looking for a job, and they find this, and they stay with you because they like it, or what's the reason they come to you, I guess?
Well, sure. I mean, well, they come and they start because doesn't everybody want a job working with dogs?
Yeah, yeah. Because you think it's easy. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, it's easy, and then it's not easy. I mean, there's aspects of it that are tough, but you have all the responsibilities. You got to make sure that the dogs are safe, that they're fed, they're watered, that they're not fighting. You got to, like you say, separate them out. But there's all sorts of personalities. You got to give a little bit of care to as many of them as you can, and your employees have to do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely a much more intense job than folks realize. And definitely during the interview process, I really stress that it's not rolling on the ground playing with puppies. And I've definitely, the folks that I have, I sort of have a group of full-time folks that have been there a long time. I would say most of them started a little bit out of college. Two of them were actually finishing up school when they started. They've all been there for about 4 or 5 years. And they basically started out and then liked the environment, liked what they were doing. So they've really grown in their role and have stayed with the company for a long time. And then we have some folks that are in school currently. One is actually in school to become a vet tech in the future.
Okay.
So I have a few part-time folks that are in school pursuing animal-related degrees.
And so it's great education for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You definitely get a good education in dog behavior. Definitely get a good education in caring for animals in general, but a lot of education in dog behavior.
And dogs behave so differently. The personalities, you know, there's just like humans. There's no two dogs that are exactly alike. You could have the same breed, but one's going to be docile, I guess, and one's going to be super friendly, and one's going to be real quiet. And I'm sure you find that there too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely the case. And a big part of the training that we go through when people are starting out, and one of the things we stress is you have to get to know a dog behavior, but working in our environment, we spend a lot of time making sure they get to know and understand the individual dogs, because a lot of the dogs do have much different personalities. And a big part of being able to manage the play group is knowing what those personality traits are.
Right, right. Now, in the next segment, we're gonna talk a little bit more about the training. But do you have certain people that are your dog trainers, or everybody's taught the same skills? How's this skill level change between your employees?
Well, we do have separate folks that do training, grooming. So I have a groomer that she does all the grooming. That's definitely a specialized skill set.
Okay.
I would never even attempt to do what she does. She does a beautiful job. It's just, she's talented. I have no talent for anything like that. I can give a dog a bath and help her brush, but I could not do the grooming. And then we have a trainer that runs all the group training classes. And then we also have, I do some of the training, and then one of my staff members, she actually has been with me for about 5 years. And over time, she has been working on developing her training skills as well. So she does some of the training too.
Now, the groomers, you have like poodles, you know, they're obviously specialty cuts. Crazy the way they cut these poodles, but your groomer does that type of thing?
Yeah, she does all breeds, and she's familiar with all the different cuts and styles for all the different dog breeds. Yeah, she's been grooming, I would say, 20 years at least.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's not 25.
No, no. Karen and I are about the same age, actually. It's kind of my internal laugh.
29.
Joke. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We'll get back to it in a little bit. I just wanted to mention again a phone number, and I'll give you a third person to call, 610-783-6394. You get a free dog walk. And so you're listening to AM 1180 WFYL, and this is Pet Chat. So Bobby Darin's in the background doing a little singing for us, and this is Jacques Doolittle, and we'll be back.
If I consulted with quadrupeds, think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles for tea.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 Shining Forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Two or three lions, walruses and sea lions. What a lovely place the world would be if I spoke slang to orangutans. The advantages why any fool on earth could plainly see. Discussing East.
Okay, welcome back to Pet Chat. This is Jacques Doolittle, AM 1180 WFYL. And we're getting close to Halloween. So I have a great little Halloween story. While we have this guy singing in the background, it's Bobby Darin. I met him on Halloween one time. I was a teenager. I was about 14. I was going around with my buddy. I'm from California, and this is right next to North Hollywood. There is a area called Toluca Lake, and Toluca Lake is where Bob Hope lived, and Walter Lantz, who did Woody Woodpecker, and some entertainers, and Bobby Darin lived there also. My friend lived there. His dad made orange juice, had a bottling company called Byerly's. And so he had a little cousin, and this cousin was six, and we're 14, so we don't dress up. You know, we like the candy, but we don't want to dress up. So we take it around this little kid. And we don't know this is Bobby Darin's house, but we knock on the door. And he opens the door, and it's Bobby Darin. I mean, I grew up with musicians, so I knew him. Bill Byerly, he didn't recognize him. But he did recognize the person at the top of the staircase. Bobby Darin's wife was Sandra Dee. And Sandra Dee, for all those people that don't know, she was the first Gidget in the Gidget movies. So that's my little Halloween story. One other quick Halloween story. Here in Philadelphia, when they first opened the casino over in Valley Forge, they had a contest for best costume. And my wife urged me to come up with some costume, and I said, I don't want to do it. So it's closer and closer to Halloween, and they're going to give away $1,000 to the best costume. So I said, oh, what the hell? So she says, why don't last year you were a pirate? And I said, I know, I'll be a mummy pirate. And she says, oh, I know. Why don't you be a mummy pirate in a kissing booth? So, yeah, Sarah. So I said, well, nobody's going to kiss me. So she said, well, we'll make this box and you carry it around and you have a string strapped around your neck to hold it up basically. So you don't have to hold it, your hands on it all the time. Just kind of support it. And we'll write on the front 25 cents and we'll cross out the 25 cents and we'll put zero. because obviously nobody's wanted to kiss a rotten mummy pirate, which obviously nobody would have wanted to do that. So we get to the casino. Took me 2 hours to put this makeup on, and my wife wrapped me with gauze. So I looked definitely like a mummy, and I had a sword tucked in my belt in one of those big pirate belts, and had a pirate hat, and I had a bird sewed on my shoulder. So that's the tie-in to Pet Chat, I guess. The fake bird. Anyway, so we get there, and they say I can't come in because they don't allow makeup, because they have to know who's coming and going in the casino. So I talked them into it, but sort of. They had a guard following me around, standing next to me the entire time I was in this competition, just so something wouldn't happen. Obviously, nothing's going to happen, but it was so silly. But ended up competition between me and this wolf man. And the wolf man, he bought this costume. I mean, or he rented it. It was a full body suit. He looked like a wolf man. But I had more clapping. I won, and I got $1,000 of free slot play, which I used that night. You know, they get you both ways, don't they?
Absolutely.
Coming and going. All right. Well, Sarah, I know you're here. I hear you laughing. So welcome back.
Thank you.
And why don't you tell us again your business and where it's located, and I got some more questions for you.
Yeah, sure. So again, I'm with Cubby's Canine Castle. We are a doggy daycare, and we are in Bluebell, right on to Cal Pike. We offer doggy daycare. We offer boarding. We also offer training classes as well as grooming services.
Okay. So training, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. So tell me about the training that goes on there.
Yeah, sure. So at Cubby's, we primarily focus on pet dog training. So we offer basic obedience group classes. We have basic obedience. We have a level 2 class that we also encourage folks to take. We actually have a pet therapy class that's starting next month as well. And those are group classes where you actually come to the facility. It's led by the trainer. We also offer private lessons where you can have the trainer either meet with you at Cubby's for an hour, or she can also come out to your home and do the private lesson in your home as well. And then we also have what's called day train, where the dog can get dropped off with us and we will work with your dog separate from you. So you can have the trainer work with you and your dog, or we can train your dog for you as well.
Now, when the dogs come and they've signed up for training, do you have a separate room where you individually train a dog? I can't imagine you trying to train a dog, there's 60 dogs running around this one individual dog. That's not going to work.
That would actually be quite distracting.
Yes, it would.
When they are first getting started, yeah, you definitely need to keep the dog separate from the other dog, because that would just actually be too much overload. However, as dog advance and you practice their obedience with them, we do actually expect some level of listening from the dogs, even in the play yard. Right. So even when the dogs are in the play yard, we do, like I said, it's a managed play group. So we do enforce appropriate manners, and we do want them to be able to listen some. And if you really, truly work on training your dog, you should actually still be able to get your dog to listen to you, even if there's a lot of distractions around.
Now, are you teaching just basic skills, like, for example, sit, heel, I guess heel is walking along next to your trainer. What kind of skills are they taught?
Sure. In the basic class, it is the basic skills. So you go through sit, down, stay, walking nicely on a leash. Okay. Recalls, which basically means your dog will come to you. Also work on things like leave it.
Okay. Like you don't want them, say, but you're going to give them a treat, and you put it on the ground and they look at it and you say, leave it, leave it. You back off, and you say, leave it. And then you say something like, okay, or something like that?
Absolutely. Leave it is definitely a command that you want your dogs to know. Imagine walking down the street. So Cubby, my y'all lad that passed away, she wanted to eat everything. She was the typical lab.
Sure.
She could sniff out anything, even if it was infinitesimal. So, and she just wanted to eat everything. So if I wasn't really good about keeping that under control, obviously she would have eaten a lot of things that I wouldn't have wanted her to get her hands on. So having a good leave it with your dog is a good safety thing too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Now, does leave it work with, say, a dog, I guess, goes after another dog and you say, leave it? Or is there a different command for that?
There's no different command. Leave it should basically be anything you're directing your attention to, whether it's food, whether it's a toy, whether it's another dog, whether it's a person, you should always be able to say, leave it. Now, unfortunately, some people, I have experienced this myself, some people get offended when you say, leave it, and you're referring to them. I apologize if you've ever seen me walking through my neighborhood and I have said, leave it, referring to you when my dog was looking at you. But it is a good command that should be generalized to anything. Like anything my dog has her attention on and I want it off, I say, leave it.
Now, never say, leave it to your spouse. Leave it. Leave it. I know that that ring looks like something you want to buy. Leave it. Or that dress. I know it's only $200. Leave it.
Yes, it would be much more polite to use a different command for your wife.
Yes, like no command. Sure, you buy whatever you want. Okay, great. And what makes a dog a good trained dog, or just a good dog for training, I guess?
A good dog, basically any dog can be trained, really. Yeah. It's a matter of figuring out what they are going to get excited about. Okay. So whether a dog is going to be motivated by food to be well-trained, or motivated by toys, or just motivated by attention and affection from their person. Right. So you can use all those things to really, truly train your dog.
Okay. All right. Different subject. What about competitions? Let's talk a little bit about competitions. What's out there?
Yeah, sure. So competition, there's training like we were talking about as far as basic training for dogs that every dog should have, right? All dogs should know basic obedience, sit down, stay,
right,
walk nicely. And then there are...
Walk nicely. what does that mean?
Well, it's funny because there's a difference between healing and walking nicely on a leash. Healing is actually very much more precise.
Right. They're right next to you.
Your dog is right next to you.
Right.
Right on your side.
Right on
Whereas
your head. Yep.
Walking nicely is they can be a foot away, they can be a foot ahead, a foot behind, but they're not pulling on you. They're not yanking you down the street.
Right.
Right.
Now, I guess there's a training technique so they don't pull the leash?
There's quite a few. Yeah, there's quite a few training techniques to work on having your dog walk nicely. It depends on the individual dog what techniques are going to work. Okay. But it's one of those things that definitely takes a lot of patience.
And so that's a behavior modification where they're pulling all the time on their leash, and to train them not to pull.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always train them not to pull. My advice is start training them when they're young so that they don't pull and you don't have to fix the behavior later on.
Right.
Develop good habits from the time they're puppies.
Okay. And now, do you have certain trainers there that train for competitions? So people come to you and they want their dog trained for competition? Or is it the trainer themselves that train their own dog to go into competition?
The training that we do and that we provide at Cubbies is more geared towards pet dogs. So a typical family, what they want their dog trained to be. The folks that do the training at Cubbies, so myself and Shannon and Jen, who's our trainer, right, we all actually pursue competition obedience ourselves with our dogs.
Oh, with your own dogs?
Yeah, with our own dogs.
Now, what's this AKC competition? What's that?
Yeah, so AKC is the American Kennel Club, and they're the predominant organization that I guess people compete under. So the AKC has obedience competitions, they have rally competitions, they have agility competitions. So you can compete in all these different, what are referred to as dog sports.
Right. Okay. Is that like the Westminster Kennel Club? Is it, or is that separate?
It's similar. So Westminster Kennel Club has traditionally only been a show dog showing for confirmation.
Right.
Right. Where, oh, this
appearance.
Dog's exactly. This dog's really pretty.
Right. And it can heel and trot along with you.
Right. This dog's really pretty. So this dog's going to win. But when you get into the dog sports, it's more active, right? So the AKC obedience competitions that you would go to, you would see different classes. So you'd see novice, and the dogs have to heel on leash. They have to heel off leash. They have to do some figure eights around people. They have to do a stand for exam. So basically your dog has to stand there and not move while someone comes along and touches them all over.
Right.
They have to do a recall, right? So they stand 40 feet away. You call them. They have to sit right in front of you.
Okay.
And then you have to finish. So what that means, they have to go around you and get into heel position. Okay. And a lot of this is with minimal commands. So you can't talk to them while you're doing all these things.
Are there snapping of the fingers?
No.
Clicking of a clicker? Or,
no, not
or at actual, all. Actual words?
So a lot of the exercises, you get to give your command one dog to start, and then that's it. The dog has to perform the whole exercise without further commands from you.
And that's because you go through the series of, say, these four different things you want them to do with commands, and then they learn these four positions or things to do then without commands?
Absolutely. They learn it as they go along. So when you get up higher levels, there are exercises where the dog has to retrieve a dumbbell. So you throw the dumbbell out, but you throw it over a jump. And your dog has to sit there while you throw the dumbbell. And then after you throw it, you can tell your dog to go get it.
Right.
So just one command, your dog has to jump over the jump, retrieve the dumbbell, jump back over the jump, and sit in front of you.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's sort of a series of commands that they – a series of different activities that they learn.
And then the next time or series of next times, you just have them heel, throw it without any command – they jump over, they grab it, they jump back, and heel next to you again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. And there's a lot of different dog sports out there. So that's obedience. There's rally, which is basically an obstacle course of obedience, if you want to think of it that way.
Those where the dogs go through these tubes. And
that's agility.
Okay.
Yeah. So rally is, there's a series of signs, and it's different obedience commands that your dog has to do. So different ways that you have to heel. So you have to walk slowly, you have to walk quickly, you have to do a figure eight, or you have to do a full left circle or a full right circle. You have to have your dog sit and you walk around your dog and your dog can't move. You have to have your dog lay down, you walk around your dog can't move. So that's a rally kind of in a nutshell.
So
there's a lot
a
more
route.
Harder things too.
Okay. And then the agility is through the tubes and
absolutely.
Stuff?
See, agility I think is the one that looks the most fun. So I think it's
right. That's where they go over jumps, go through
exactly,
tubes,
yeah.
go up and down stairs.
Yep. Yep.
That's agility.
Exactly. And I think agility definitely gets the most visibility. But it definitely takes a lot of training to get your dog to the point of running those agility courses. You have to do a lot of training because it's really a team effort when you're running through the agility course.
Sure.
Because your dog has to take the cues from you as far as what obstacle to do.
Now, the other thing that I guess has a lot of visibility on the different sports channels is this dog jumping in water.
Oh, the dock diving.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah.
Dock.
Yep.
Dock diving.
Dock diving is
diving
very
off
popular.
The dock. Okay.
Absolutely. Some of those dogs jump 20 plus feet.
No, I know. You
yeah,
see
it's
them.
Crazy.
And it looks like labs are the ones that could jump the furthest. Is there a record, and what kind of dogs are usually the ones that make those records?
Yeah, definitely. You see a lot of labs doing that. Any sort of retrieving breed that typically, like Goldens are typically retrieving. Also,
right.
I would think a lot of the gun dogs, like the, oh, I'm blanking.
That's okay.
German Shorthair Pointers,
Right.
They're bird dogs, so they like to retrieve, and they're good, very, very, very good swimmers. So really, dogs that were bred to swim are very good at that sport as well.
Now, I'm sure you, I'm not going to say I'm sure, but I don't know this, but I guess you don't train duck diving because you don't have a pool area to train in, right?
We at Cubbies do not train duck diving because, yes, absolutely, we don't have a pool. I would love to have a pool one day. I did hear...
Do you have a space for it where you could, you know, put a pool or and a dock or...
There is the space.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is the space. The joke at Cubbies is when Sarah wins the lottery, we're going to have a pool. Okay. So hopefully one day down the road, we'll
You're
have a pool.
You're talking $20,000 to put in a pool or something, right?
Well, you have to put the building over top of the pool.
Oh, it's got to be inside?
For dock diving, it doesn't have to be inside. Most of those competitions are actually held outside.
Right.
But for me in this area, if we're going to put a pool in, if you want to use it all year long, you would definitely want it.
Yeah,
it
will definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, I do have a friend that someone is trying to, in this area, just open a dock diving specific facility. It's becoming that popular. They actually are looking to, they're looking for the property now. So it's going to be a while, but I'll make sure I get an announcement out here when the dock diving facility is open.
So say you got the facility. Now, I would imagine most people go there just for fun and to see if their dog could do it.
Oh, sure.
As opposed to, you know, going for the total distance. They just want to see if the dog will jump off the dock, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both.
Now, does it have to be a young dog to train to do that? Or just because they're that breed, like short hairs and hunting dogs, that they just love the water? So if you put them up on that dock, they're just going to jump in the water? Or you got to obviously potentially train them to do it, right?
It probably depends on the dog. There's definitely some training involved. When you're hardcore about it and you're really participating and really competing in the sport, there's actually training that people do with their dog as far as how long they run for, how fast the dog is going to run, how they're actually taking off from the end of the dock. Those are the folks that you see winning the national competition.
Right. They have to have a really long dock because they have to build up the speed.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Now, what's something called karting? What's that?
Karting is actually an interesting dog sport. You see it a lot, and I got into it because I have a Greater Swiss Mountain Dog. And the Greater
I never heard of that. What is a Greater Swiss Mountain Dog?
Greater Swiss Mountain Dog, they're not a common breed.
What does it look like?
They're not a common breed. Are you familiar with Bernese Mountain Dogs?
Yeah. They're big.
Well, exactly. So Greater Swiss Mountain Dog actually looks like the Bernese Mountain Dog, but they are slightly taller. They have shorter hair. People don't realize, there's actually four different Swiss Mountain Dogs.
Okay.
And the Greater Swiss are actually the largest of the four, and then the Berners. Honestly, about half the people that meet my dog, probably more than half, I would probably say about 5% of the people that meet my dog know she's a Greater Swiss Mountain Dog, also referred to as Swissies.
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 Not sissies, but Swissies.
And then, so 5% know she's a Swissie. I would say about 75% ask if she's a Bernese with a haircut. And then about another 15% of people that meet her ask what kind of mix she is. So they're not very common, but they were farm dogs. And so were the Bernese, actually. And what their job was in Switzerland, their job was to pull the milk in the cart to market.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they hooked them up to the harness and they hooked them up to the cart.
Working dogs.
They really were working dogs. So the fun thing with working dogs, and Swissies aren't the only one, there's a lot of breeds out there that were developed to do a job. The fun thing to do.
Are the St. Bernards the same thing? Are they working dogs?
They are also working breed.
I know that you always hear them that they're rescue dogs. They go up, you know, with the mountain climbers and they rescue people.
And they were designed to have a job. So karting is something that basically takes what they were bred to do what they have in their instincts to do,
mm-hmm.
and
pull
exactly pull a cart. So you go out and you can do carting, and it's you do an obstacle course. Your dog's hooked up to she's in her harness. She's hooked up to the cart. You do an obstacle course, and then you go on what's a big freight haul where you go for a mile and you haul extra weight, and you walk in a formation with about 8-9 other dogs.
And so as part of karting is one competition is the dog that could pull the most weight or something like that?
That's actually a different dog sport.
Oh, that's something.
You can do weight
karting,
pull.
Karting number two.
No, so it's funny that you can do weight pull, and that actually the dog that pulls the most weight wins. And there are dogs that pull 4,000 pounds. It's amazing. Yeah, they pull
4,000 pounds.
I know. It's a lot of weight.
I can't even pull 4,000 pounds.
It's amazing to watch them do it. So the funny thing is there are so many sports out there. There's tracking for dogs that have really good noses. So a lot of dogs that were bred to do something, there's a sport out there.
So tracking, you would give them the item, and then they go hide the item, and then the dog has to go find it?
It's more,
more complicated than that.
Everything's more complicated than that. They walk a track, and the dog has to actually follow the footsteps of the track the whole way.
Oh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So say the person that's laying the track, they start at X, they walk out 10 paces and they turn left. The dog follows those 10 paces and then makes the left and follows the specific track.
Now, is that instinct or how do you train a dog to sniff out, you know, whatever they're sniffing out, another person or whatever?
Well, you train them to scent and alert on things as well. So when they hit a certain scent, they follow it along, and then they can also lay down when they find like a certain item.
That's
amazing.
That's
what you
really
can do.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with your dogs, and I definitely encourage people to see what's out there that they can do with their dog because it's a lot of fun things to do.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, we're almost done. I wanted to ask you just a couple things about yourself. What, you say you're from the area?
I am, actually. I originally grew up in this area, left to go to school in D.C., lived down there for about 7-8 years, moved out to Chicago for a few years, and then decided to move back here.
Now, you weren't in telecom. You were in...
I was in software. I worked for a software company.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I worked for a software company for their professional services.
And what do you do for yourself? What kind of hobbies do you have?
Well, as you can hear how much I talked about training and dog sports, that's probably definitely my biggest hobby. I did a lot of...
Your work is not your hobby.
I know. It's horrible.
No, I guess it can be. I mean, I love what I do. I mean, my wife... when I retired from 10 years at Comcast and 30 years in cable, she said, what do you like to do? You know, you're bored at home. I said, I love pets. She says, well, why don't you start yourself a pet company? And so eventually after 2 years, we have a website, we have customers, we have a couple of employees and a lot of fun. So it can be a hobby. I mean, I love it. I'd do it for free if I could afford to, you know.
Right, exactly.
So what else do you do?
So, doing a lot of the obedience and activities with my dog. And then I also try to get an occasional round of golf in sometimes.
Little golf. Are you married? Do you golf with your husband? Or are you a single person? You golf on your own? You got all your friends you golf with? Or?
I am single. So anyone out there, let me know.
She trains. She'll train you to be a good husband.
But definitely don't be allergic to dogs.
Right.
That has killed previous relationships. A lot of times I actually go golfing with my sister.
Okay.
It's something that we enjoy going. We do.
Do you golf under 100, over 100?
I would say slightly over.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're okay golfer.
Yeah. I'm average. Okay. I maintain the pace of play, but I'm an average golfer. Yeah.
Okay. I want to thank you, Sarah, for being our guest. And I'm going to give our phone number out again. Third caller right now, 610-783-6394. 610-783-6394. Third caller, free dog walk. Okay? This is AM 1180 WFYL, and you've been listening to Pet Chat. We'll catch you next week. Have a great week. Buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea.